Let's all say amen. Amen. One day, we are going to give up this ghost. Amen. And one day, we're going to stand before an awesome God. Amen. And in that day, I don't know about you, but all I want to hear is the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Amen. You've been faithful over a few things. Enter into the joys of the Lord. It's good to see each and every one of you this morning. I hope and pray that all is well with you. It's good to have my cousin with me. Boy, I tell you, God is good. And you know, value family while you can. Amen. Because one day you're not going to be here. But this morning I just want to encourage your heart with something that was on my heart. We live in some perilous times. The world in which we know has changed drastically. But Solomon, the wisest man on the face of the earth, said that there is nothing new under heaven. So since all of the tragedy and everything that's going on, it reminds me of what he said, that there's nothing new. But he came to a conclusion in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and round about verse number 13. He says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Everything that's going on has a purpose." What's man's purpose? He says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." And I venture to say that we have lost what thus saith the Lord. As I look at history and I look at about 150 years ago, our country was built on God. And as long as we stay with God, and if I look at history, whenever a country or civilization got away from God, God used other folk to remind them of what they're supposed to be doing. Amen. Romans chapter 15 and verse number 4, the Bible says, "The things that are written aforehand was written for our learning, that we through patience and hope of the scripture..." Everything that God has written in the Old Testament has a purpose. And I want to show you this morning that as I look at the world in which I live in, and my heart mourns for the condition of the world. Amen. It mourns for the body of Christ, because I don't think sometimes we understand that God has left us here for the purpose of helping the world. Amen. If you miss morning Bible class, you missed a good one. Because our purpose is to stimulate, to provoke, to motivate, to encourage one another to get out here to show the world that it don't have to be this way. Nope. But when you leave God out of the picture, expect anything to happen. Amen. And I'm learning that. And I always tell my family, as long as God is number one in your life, you don't have to worry about nothing else. Mm-hmm. I'm reminded the psalmist said, "I was young, and now I'm old. Yet have I seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread." Amen. I'm concerned about my family, but you know what? As long as they keep their hand in the hand of the man from Galilee, they're going to be all right. And church, and I don't know about you, when I stop and think about the goodness of God, and I look at the world in which we live in, I'm so thankful that he has saved me from my sins. Amen. You may not forgive me, but I'm glad that I got a Savior that I don't have to plead with, because he sent the very best. Amen. And so this morning, I want to just real quickly, if I can, and I hope I can get through this, I want to show you that there is a signal that is in the world in which everyone in the world recognizes. Doesn't matter about your race. Doesn't matter about your language barrier. It's a signal that is known worldwide. This signal is a signal that calls out when men are in trouble. This signal comes from a French word meaning meilleur, which we get an English interpretation that says Mayday. Some of y'all with me this morning. Mayday, which means come and help us. There's also another signal It's called SOS, meaning come save our ship. It's a recognized symbol all over the world. And what really blows me away is that man can recognize this symbol, this signal of distress, but you can't recognize the God who's in control of the entire world. This blows me away. How men can lay aside all of their differences when an SOS goes out. That's right, they stop everything. Why? Because someone stands in distress. The God that I serve is a God that sent out a signal. That's right. He sent this signal out before the foundation of the world. And this signal was that man needs somebody to help them come back to him. Right. Genesis chapter 1 and round about verse number 26. God said, let us make man in our image. In the image he made them both male and female. I wish I had time to talk about that female. But that's not part of my lesson. But any time you change the word of God to suit your need, you need an SOS. Okay. God sent out an SOS. Genesis chapter 2, when God made woman out of the rib of a man, and he saw that what he made was not just good, but was very good. Genesis chapter 3, around about verse number 1, the Bible says, when God walking through the cool of the garden, called out to Adam, he said, Adam, where art thou? And Adam thought he didn't know where he was at. No, he knew where he was at. He wanted to know, Adam, have you done something contrary to what I commanded you to do? Because he told Adam, I'm going to place you in the garden. Everything in the garden you may freely eat of, but the tree that's in the midst of the garden, thou shalt not touch it, for in the day that you do, you will surely die. God told Adam that, and Adam told Eve. How do I know that? Genesis chapter 3, when the Satan beguiled Eve, Eve told the devil, God has said. How does she know what God said when God didn't talk to her? Because it came from her husband. God sent out an SOS to man. Genesis chapter 3, after man messed up in the garden, God had to see a way to reconcile man back to himself. Genesis chapter 3 and round about verse number 15, he would prepare Jesus Christ to come to reconcile sinful man back to himself. He sent out an SOS. But this SOS that he sent out requires something. First and foremost, the SOS that God sends out requires that you understand that you're lost. Amen. And when you understand that you're lost and you need a Savior, then you'll understand the SOS that God sent out. John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God sent out an SOS. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8. God demonstrated his love toward men in that while we were yet sinners, Christ had already died for us. God sent out an SOS to man to remind men that you need to do what I say, contrary to what the world says. And I want to show you the reason I believe our world is in such a mess is because we have changed God's law to fit our own needs. Who told you you can come when you feel like it? Huh? Who told you what you have belongs to you? Huh? Oh, y'all quiet. I know I'm on the right nerve. Church, I want to show you this morning that when we leave God out of the picture, come what may. Because that's exactly what's going to happen. For 2 Chronicles chapter 7. I'm going to give you some history lesson this morning. Because you need to understand something. That when we as a nation decide that we're going to make right wrong and wrong right, that means we've left God. You don't believe me? Look at what he said. Isaiah, I believe, chapter 5 round about verse number 14, they changed good to be evil and evil to be good. They changed light to darkness and darkness to light. Tell me we ain't in that. I know we might not want to talk about it, but there are some things we've done that is contrary to the word of God. And when you do things contrary to the word of God, expect God to do something to us. The prophet in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and round about verse number 14, the Bible says, if my people who are called by my name. Oh boy, when I saw this, I had to repent. Hey, don't you call yourself a child of God? Amen. Huh? Don't you call yourself a Christian? Yes, come on, I got you now. I want to show you the church. We claim to be one thing, but our actions are totally different than what we say we are. God here, through the prophet, says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. Let me stop right there. You know what's wrong with us as Americans? We not humble. That's right. You know, it's my way or the highway. How many of y'all got that attitude? You don't have to raise your hand, because I know that God knows that you know that I know that God knows that you know that I know that that's your mindset. Amen. And until we humble ourselves and understand that God has set this thing in order. I don't remember reading you being anywhere in creation. Do you? Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says, God said, let us. He didn't say let you and I. He said let us. And when we humble ourselves in the sight of God, God will do something for the world. 1 Peter chapter 5 and round about verse number 6. The Bible says, humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he might exhort you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Now, if God cares for America, and I'm recalling some 40 years ago, one nation, what happened to us? Huh? Do we really have it under God, or have we changed what thus saith the Lord? Humble yourself therefore in the mighty hand of God, that he might exhort you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walketh about as a roaring lion. What's his purpose? Seeking whom he may devour. Satan is out to destroy us. Amen. But see, in order for God to correct us, we got to humble ourselves and let God have his way. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, I ain't left there yet. I ain't even got into the lesson, so if y'all in a hurry, you need to leave. Amen, Walls. He goes on to say, and pray. See, you can't pray to God until you humble yourself. Amen. We have a nation that refused to accept what God said. Amen. And we quick to pray. Maybe I don't understand something. Some of y'all smart folk, help me out. This word A-N-D, that's a conjunction. Does that join something together? Huh? Y'all help me out here. I want y'all to educate me this morning. Because how can you pray to God when you won't humble yourself to God? Yeah. How can you pray to God when you won't do what God say to do? Yeah. Luke chapter 6 verse 46, Jesus says, why in the world would you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I command you? He says here in this text that you must humble yourself and pray. And then he uses this conjunction again, this A-N-D. See, you can't humble yourself and pray. You gotta also seek. Amen. Amen. And until the world in which we live in starts seeking God and putting him back on the throne, you can expect everything that's going on in the world to continue. I'm a firm believer the reason we're in the mess that we're in is because we're taking God out of the picture. Amen. We kicked him out of the schools. Yep. Amen. Amen. And half of the churches have thrown him out of there too. Right. And y'all, amen. He's no longer in our homes. Amen. Y'all quiet. You know why? Because see, to do it God's way requires something. The SOS that he sent out requires us to do something. We first of all We got to serve him. Let me get ahead of myself. And I'm like you this morning, but I didn't get excited up here. Don't let me get ahead of myself. Back in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, he says, and seek. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 33. Jesus says, but seek thee first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. And then in verse number 33, he says, sufficient is the day for the evil thereof. I'm not worried about tomorrow. Lord, just help me make it through the day. Amen. He says that my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face. And I will and turn from their evil ways. We got some evil ways in America? Yes. No, not the greatest country in the world. No. Not a country where you can come and be free. Free. Missed a couple of y'all. But here, the prophet is trying to tell God's people that God will do when you get busy doing. He says, my people, and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins, and I will heal their lands. Amen. The world is in a mess because we've left God out of the picture. See, the Israelites just knew that they were God's chosen people. And they were so willing to do whatever God said as long as it fit within their parameter of their plan, their scope of what they thought it was. And when I look at Israel, boy, I can see us in 2015. Romans chapter 10, and round about verse number 1. Paul says, brethren, my heart desire and prayer to God is for Israel, is that they might be saved. For I bear them record, they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, and have gone about to establish their own righteousness. Anybody here, you ever done that?
Yeah.
Oh, every one of us do. You look in the mirror, you think you all right, huh?
Yeah.
Ain't nothing better than you. Well, I just stopped by to tell you. Yes, it is. You know how we think. But the Bible says they've gone about to establish their own righteousness and have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. God's SOS from heaven is designed to help men out of darkness into a marvelous light. But in order for us to receive God's SOS, there are some things, first of all, we have to do. And first and foremost, as God's people, we got to learn to sacrifice our lives in service to him. That's the first S. Sacrifice your life to him. What does that really mean? Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 through 26. Jesus said, if any man desires to come after me, let him deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever desires to save his life will lose it. Whosoever desires to lose his life for my sake shall find it. And Jesus says, what does it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? God's SOS to man is you got to sacrifice your life if you want to follow me. Amen. The O in his SOS is you got to be obedient to me. Amen. Amen. Hebrews chapter 5, round about verses 8 and 9. The Bible said, although he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. See, Jesus understood what obedience meant. It meant that his life was not his own. His life belonged to the one that sent him. And Jesus said, I always do the things that pleases him. The last S in God's SOS to man is that you must serve him according to what is written. Amen. Amen. God's SOS to man. 2 Timothy chapter 2, round about verse number 24. A servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle to all men, apt to teach patience and meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will grant them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and they may escape the snares of the devil, amen, who have been taken captive by him at his will. Amen. That's God's SOS.
That's right.
To man. Amen, Wall. Man's
SOS to God, is to save our souls.
Amen.
Boy, y'all don't hear me this morning.
Don't hear me. Somewhere down the line, if you really want to be saved, you've got to do it God's way and not your way.
Amen.
Isaiah chapter 55, I believe, 8 and 9, God said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. As far as the heaven is from the earth, so are my thoughts and my ways different than your ways. See, our call to God is to save our souls from eternal damnation. And he did this when he sent his son to die on the cross to reconcile man back to himself. And for those of us who have obeyed from the heart the gospel and have been added to the body of Christ, you ought to know that the SOS we have to God is to help me to stay focused in my Christian walk. First Colossians chapter 1 and round about verse number 13. Powerful words to remind us that God sent the very best of heaven and has delivered it to us, but in order for us to do it, it requires something. The Bible says in verse number 13, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. See, if you want God to save you, you're going to have to do something of what God says.
Amen.
You must first and foremost, if you want him to save you, you got to hear his gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. The gospel is about the death, the burial, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then you must obey from the heart that form of doctrine. Romans chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. The Bible says you got to hear God's word. Romans 10, 17. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Question is, do you believe what you hear? Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6. For without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. And he's the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The Bible says you got to repent of your sin. Luke 13:3, 13:5. Tell your nay, except you repent, you perish. Confess that he is the Son of a living God. And to those of us who have obeyed from the heart the gospel, that's an ongoing confession. I confess him every single day. Or I deny him every single day. Jesus says, confess me before men, and I'll confess you before my Father. But deny me before men, and I'll deny you before my Father. Then the Bible says one must be buried in water for the remission of sin. It is in the watery grave that God washes away all of your sins. Nothing in the water. It is a commandment of God himself. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27. We're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of us that are baptized into Christ have put on Christ. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. There's an antitype that saves us now, namely baptism. Not the washing of the filth of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience toward God. Church, our SOS to God is help save our souls and help us to live a life for you. But see, in order to do that, we're going to have to return to what thus saith the Lord. Amen. And I believe that's the problem in our society today. The Bible says we serve the creature more than the creator. Oh, y'all looking at me funny. I got some Bible. Romans chapter 1. I didn't want to go here, but since you sent me on over here, I'm going to go on and go here. I want to show you that we're more concerned about who we are than about who God is. And as a result of thinking about who we are, then we kind of bend the rules a little bit, don't we?
Yeah.
Amen. John chapter 4, verse 24. The Bible says God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. Jesus said to those disciples that believed in him, if you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed. You will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The truth is, God is not pleased with everything that goes on in our society.
Amen.
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 I don't care what man's law says. When it supersedes God's law, there's a problem. Acts chapter 5. And round about verse number 29, after they had beaten the apostles, and after they commanded them, don't say another word in the name of this Jesus. Peter, knife toting, curse you out at the drop of a hat.
Right.
said we ought to obey God rather than man.
And so keep your bail money ready. Because I'm going to obey God rather than man. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1 and round about verse 20, for the invisible things of him from creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are not made, even his eternal power and the Godhead, so that we are without excuse. That's what scares me. When I tell you what to do, I lose my soul. That's what scares me. Paul said, after I preach to others, I myself is disqualified. But he didn't stop there. Verse number 21, he says, because that which they knew God, they glorified not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish hearts was darkened. Amen. Professing themselves to be wise, they became foolish. Amen. But tell me that don't sound like where we are today. Oh, need some more convincing? And have changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man. Who that sound like to you? And to birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own flesh, their own hearts, dishonoring their own bodies between themselves, changing the truth of God into a lie, right, and worshiping and serving the creature more than the Creator. Lord have mercy. That's some powerful stuff when I read that. And then when I read a little further, I said, boy, Lord, have your mercy. The Bible says, who is blessed forever? For this cause, God gave them up to vain, vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. I know good and well this ain't pleasant stuff. And I know we don't want to talk about it because we want to be friends with everything. But I'm going to obey God.
Amen.
Rather than you. Because in the final analysis, you ain't got a heaven or hell to send me to. But I know who does.
But it's interesting because we'll walk over this stuff because we're afraid to make our stand.
When I look at the first century church, I look at individuals that were bold, that were steadfast, that were unmovable. The Bible said they were sown asunder. Hebrews chapter 12. You go over there and you read it. They wandered about in desert camps, not knowing, but they look for a heaven whose builder and maker, boy, I'm telling you,
if it ain't got here, just hold on. The Bible says, and likewise, I'm going to finish this up because that wasn't part of my lesson, but it ain't costing you nothing. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of a woman, burning in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error which was met. Well, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Look at the world we live in. To do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliceness, full of envy, murder, debate, division. That sound like our world?
Yes.
That sound like our world is really... Now, this was written a while back. Verse number 30, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boastful, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. You want to know why kids don't listen? Huh? But before you get to your kids, ask yourself a question. Have I been listening? Huh? Because if you ain't listening, how you expect your kids to listen? If that don't cost you nothing either. That's just part of what here. Verse 32 says, who knowing the judgment of God, that they might commit such a things are worthy of death, not only to do the same, but have pleasure in them that doeth these things. Very powerful. God's SOS to man is, I've sent the very best to redeem you. God's SOS to man is you don't have to be in the state that you're in. If you surrender your will to my will, you can enjoy life. And then when life is over, I'll have a crown waiting for you. John chapter 10 and round about verse number 10. Jesus says the thief comes but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I've come, and that's what motivates me. I've come that you might have life and that you may have it more abundantly. Amen. Boy, I don't have a Rolls Royce, but I'm rolling. I don't have a tux, but I look pretty darn good. I'm not eating caviar, but I ain't missed a meal. That's why, as God's people, we ought to be the most excited, the most motivated folk on the face of the earth. Even in the midst of everything that's going on, we serve a God that is able to save us. Man's SOS to God is that, church, we need him to save us. In order for him to save us, we got to repent of our sins and do the first work. In order for him to really be on our side, we got to walk in the light. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, as he in the light. And then for him to save our souls, Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 10, be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, round about 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. And church, that's a message, a signal that can be recognized throughout the entire world. God has a signal too. Amen. And that signal is based upon L-O-V-E. When we love one another the way he has commanded us to love, the world in which we live in will change. But see, it had to start with us. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you is that you love one another as I have loved you. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, by the love you have for one another. Somebody this morning might need an SOS from God. Well, he just sent me your way to tell you that you don't have to live in the condition that you're in.
That's right.
Whether you're in the body or out of the body, if you surrender your will to his will, boy, he'll make some peace in the valley.
Amen.
Now, I don't know about you, I serve such an awesome God.
Amen.
And you know, and he is so good to me.
Amen.
And I just constantly mess up.
Amen.
Don't look at me funny, the preacher, yes. Yes, cause he's still flesh and blood.
Yeah.
It ain't changed. But one thing I got is a God that forgives me of my sins.
Amen.
And if you're visiting this morning and you need to talk to the same God that I'm talking to, he's pleading with you. Those of us who are members of the body of Christ, you should never ever take lightly your responsibility. There's going to come a time that he's going to call the world into judgment. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10, Paul says we're going to all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And we're going to give an account to it. Not some things. You know, the things that you do that you don't think nobody see. Huh? We're going to give an account to everything that's done in the body. Whether it be good or whether it be bad. Verse number 11 is the one that I hang my hat on. Because Paul says, therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, I persuade men. I want to persuade you this morning. You ain't doing what God says, get busy.
Amen.
You missed Bible class, you missed a good one. Because our job, our responsibility is to the lost. But it's also to edify, to build one another up, to remind one another. Church, I might go to hell because I didn't. Not because I didn't do what I was supposed to do. I want to encourage you this morning. As this year draws to a close. See, I know you're thinking about Christmas, which is only... Amen, Walls. A few days away. But what happens if you don't wake up in the morning?
Amen.
You know, what happens if you get between the two twilights?
Amen.
You better have somebody that can help you on the other side.
Amen.
I can only take you to the grave.
That's right.
But I'm so thankful that there's somebody that's on the other side of the grave.
Amen.
And that's what drives me. That's what motivates me. I want to encourage you to have a good week. I want to encourage you. Stop and think about it. I asked you a question last week. Do you remember what I asked you last week? Huh?
Y'all remember what I asked you?
I asked you so much, didn't I?
Yeah. Is God really pleased with my service to Him? And that's a question that only you can answer. And I want to encourage you, as this year draws to a close, if you need to make some changes, make them. Tomorrow's not promised.
Man.
I don't know who told us, especially young people. I know y'all got all, y'all got the rest of y'all's life, huh?
Yeah.
Your life can end tomorrow. Mm-hmm. In fact, it could end. A friend of mine, been about 3 weeks, got out the pulpit, sat down, and went on to glory.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. It can happen at any time.
Mm-hmm.
Am I scared? You're good. I want to scare you to do what God commands. If you're here, you stand in need. Let it be known.